John chapter number 11. Gospel of John chapter number 11. And you find that place you're able to. Let's stand to your feet. John's Gospel chapter 11. It's sure good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I'm glad that it is all about the name Jesus. Amen. And if you came for anybody else's name or for anybody else to be magnified, then it's in the wrong place. This is all about Him. Amen. And thank God, I'm glad it is. Amen. Here the Bible says, very familiar passage of Scripture, you pray for us this morning, the Lord help us real good. Bible says this, very familiar, John chapter 11, verse number 1, says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, town of Mary and her sister Martha." The Bible said it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Verse 4 says, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And after that he saith to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." And his disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Let me just put a little preface right here and say, thank God there's nobody that the Lord's afraid of when it comes to getting to sinners. Amen. Hey, listen, the Bible says in verse 9, said Jesus answered, said, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." At verse 11, he says these words, "These things saith he, and after he saith unto him, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go that I may awake him out of his sleep." Look in verse 14, the Bible said, and said Jesus unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Look with me, if you will, in verse 43, for the sake of time. And the Bible says these words, "And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go." Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you this morning asking you, Father, one more time, would you help us outside of eternity? Oh God, I pray that, Lord, tonight that you would help us to preach as if it was the first time that we ever have, and as if it'll be the last time that we ever will. God, I thank you, Lord, for the good scripture that you've given us. I thank you for the good King James Bible. God, I thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost. God, I'm glad today, not afraid of Lord, of everything you've given us in the scripture. And I pray for a few moments of time, and Lord, that you would help us. God, you'd give us unction and utterance. Help us to say only those things today that would glorify Christ. Lord, I sure love you. I thank you. Ask you for help now. In Christ's name we humbly beg and pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested, of course, primarily, and maybe I don't want to take for granted what everybody in here does or does not know. But when you turn to the Gospel of John, it's not like the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It stands alone apart from itself. And listen, John is not trying to say what Matthew, Mark, and Luke did. Matthew's trying to tell you about a king. Mark's trying to tell you about a servant. Luke's trying to tell you about a man. But when you turn to the Gospel of John, he's telling you about a God. Amen. Thank God, so it don't start. Hey, listen, friend, it don't start in a manger. It just starts where God started. It said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Amen. And so I'll say this, all of a sudden in the Gospel of John, it sets apart different from everything else. And then when you open up and you start reading, it don't take you long to figure out that God, John, puts forth 7 miracles. And they're not trying to say everything that there is, but they're saying enough that you can believe. Amen. I say this to you, thank God. And when you open up the Gospel of John, and by the time you flip through its holy pages, my friend, you got to walk away with a
couple of opinions. Hey, you got to either say he's God and everything that he said he was, or he's a lunatic and he's nothing. Amen. And thank God he can't be a pretty good fella. He can't just be a prophet. He can't just be a nice guy. He made some claims, thank God, that nice guys don't make. He said that he was God. Amen. Oh, yes, friend. And so we find that, thank God, in the Gospel of John, he's writing all these things that you and I might believe. I'd say this to you, friend. All of a sudden you come to chapter 11, and what you see here is the very last miracle that the Lord is ever going to do. I'm glad that the Lord saves his best for last, ain't you? I don't know how you feel about that, but thank God I'm glad today that everything the Lord's done, it just gets better and better. He started off turning the water into wine. I say thank God for that, but it shows us it's out with the old and in with the new. But now in John chapter number 11, he does the biggest miracle in front of the largest number. And you say, what's the point? And so that folks might believe. Amen. And so we find here, he's a man and his name is Lazarus. I find it interesting in the life of Lazarus that he never says a word. And you can find all through the Bible, and you never find Lazarus as saying or uttering one word. And you know that his life is the only testimony that there is. And thank God we've got it backward in America today. Got a lot of this right here. And got a lot of folks who can talk about it. And not many folks that are living through it. Amen. But old Lazarus wasn't that way, friend. His life never says nothing. I mean, his words never says nothing. He never says, I'm a follower. He never says, I'm a Christian. He never talks about how he loves the Lord. And yet his life shows it over and over again. But oh, listen to me, friend. Let me say this. He never one time that we're recorded has he ever even mentioned the name of Christ. He don't say Jesus. He don't talk about him saving him. We've got no record of his testimony. We don't know any of those things. I'll tell you what I do know, though, thank God. I know that on three different occasions the God of all glory utters his name. Amen. If the Lord would help us for a few minutes of time, I think every time he utters his name, it's showing us a different picture of what's going on in our lives as Christian believers. I'd like to preach on this thought this morning, if God would help me, that God not help us to start living like dead men. Amen. That God start help us to start living like a dead man. I'd say this, friend, when you come this first one, and don't nobody fall out with me, and just hang real tight, and I hope that God's word will be a help to you. And the first thing I'd say is this. Let's look at where he calls his name the first time in verse number 11. He says simply these words. He said, our friend Lazarus. I'd say, first of all, and we see the relationship that Lazarus had with Jesus. Oh, friend, can you say this today? And the one thing I know about it is that the Lord loved him. Amen. And that's a blessing in and of itself. If you're here and you're lost on your way to hell, hey, listen, I got thinking about this, and I hope that what I'm going to say is maybe not just exactly right, and you'll see what I'm saying. I believe that Joey loves me. I believe that my boys love me. I believe my wife loves me. I believe that most everybody in this church loves me. And by and large, amen, and the most of it. But I would say this, what I have found far too many times, there's a lot of folks that would say they love you, and that they really don't mean that, amen, and that they only love you to a certain point. And then once you get past that point, that is the cutoff mark. But could I say this, friend? I've searched far and wide, and I never have found the cutoff point when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we're sitting here in the house of God, and the one person after another person, and my friend, we could stand here and talk about how many times that we've given the Lord a reason and why he ought not love us today, and yet in spite of every reason that we've ever given God and why he not care about us, and the words still ring true, and for God so loved the world, amen. And thank God it don't matter how many times you read it, it don't matter how many times you say it, and those words ring true every single time, and for God so loved the world, amen. And then he gave his only begotten son. I'd say this to you about the life of Lazarus, and the first thing I know is that he's favored. Here's what the Bible says. I love how it reads this. Watch this in your Bible in verse number 5. It says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and and Lazarus. We don't have to take nobody's word for it. I thank God, God himself said it. Amen. I don't have to try to figure out. Hey, you know, you walk around sometimes and you're trying to figure out whether somebody really loves you or not. As a matter of fact, I got thinking about this. I got thinking about the night that me and it's been a many moon ago now. But when me and my wife got married, Davis, well before you was around, amen. When me and Allison got married, I stood there that day in front of the preacher and I said, boy, I love you. And you know what? And I thought I meant that. But we've been through a little bit of life now. I've been through some ups and downs. I've been through some losses and gains. And oh, listen, I can tell you now, I didn't know what love was much about back then. But I can tell you in an honest heart, I love her today. Amen. And I believe she loves me. Thank God. And we've been through enough stuff. That's one thing to know. For somebody to say, hey, man, that person over there loves you. But Jesus himself. And I want you to don't miss this. It's one thing for Kevin to stand here and say, oh, Jerry, do you know that the Lord Jesus loves you? It's another thing to find it written down. And to find it written in the Bible. And that God loves you. And you say, preacher, I wish it was in the Bible. And God loved me. Well, it is over and over. It says, hallelujah to God. It says it like this. It said, God is love. Amen. That's a pretty good starting point. And the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Every time, listen, I can't never read that verse in these days until I think about this fella right here. And we was back there one time in the little prayer room, and it was Grayson's night. He was gonna bring the devotion, and Brother Kylie got up there and he read that verse and he said, we love him because he first loved us. And he said, why do you love him? Amen. And boy, I ain't never forgot that. And why do you love him? Amen. And because he first loved me is a pretty good starting place. And but God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you can take that us out and fill your own name in there. Thank God. And Christ died for you. Amen. I really do believe, thank God, and that the Lord Jesus Christ would have shed his life's blood and would have taken every whipping. I believe he'd have let him nail his hands. I believe he'd have died a gruesome death. I believe he'd have done it all for me. Amen. And I thank God the wonder of it all. I never have been able to understand it. I can't wrap my mind around it. But I don't have to. I just believe it. Amen. Oh, listen, I want you to notice this. And first of all, we find Jesus loved it. In verse number 3, the Bible says this. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And so not only did Jesus say it, but Lazarus knew it. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Listen, it makes no difference. May I tell you, a happy day in your life. That would be when you figure out, Brother Christian, and not only did God say that he loved you, but when you get to believing that God really does love you. I mean, listen, I'm telling you, we've got such a messed up mentality sometimes. It's almost hard for us to accept the love of Christ. And we say, there's no way. I mean, I believe it, Brother Kevin. I believe everything God said. But I'm having a hard time accepting the love of God. If you'd be honest right now, if I were to say, raise your hands if you're in that place and don't do it. There's a lot of folks that would raise their hand and say, I believe every word of that Bible. I believe everything God said's true. But I have an awful hard time believing God really does love me and accepting the love of God for all it is. But I'm going to tell you this, thank God. The Lord loves me warts and all. Amen. Hey, you do with that whatever you want to. Hey, you say, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, he loves all the beautiful parts. He loves all the ugly parts. He loves all the known parts. He loves all the unknown parts. He loves me as I am, where I am, thank God. And I know it, amen. Thank God. That's how you come to the house of God. Hey, listen, doesn't matter if you love me. I mean, listen, everything else, there's going to come a stopping point of it, but not of his. And so, listen, Jesus said he loved him. And Lazarus knew he loved him. I like what Brother Joshua, he didn't hear me, but he said, turn to John 11. I said, move on, amen. Move on, thank God. He got and started reading that same verse that I was going to read for you today. But I'm going to read it again because it's still just as good now as it was when he read it. In verse 36, he said, then said the Jews, amen. And behold how he loved him. Hey, you know what it is, thank God. And this is something. And when the Lord said he loves you, you know he loves you. And everybody else knows he loves you too, amen. And so we're sitting in the house of God this morning. And everywhere life finds you at, every what kind of shape you in. And the one thing that I know, he said he loves you. I hope you know that he loves you. And thank God the rest of us knows for sure, amen. I know he does. Amen. How you say, how do you know? Thank God. How David's son left his Bible. Hey, thank God you're sitting here today. That must mean that he loves you. Amen. That's a pretty special thing. That's why I thought about his relationship. At first we find he's favored. But then watch what your Bible said, verse 11. He said, our friend. Oh, what a picture. And listen, watch this. And don't nobody miss where I'm going with this. He started off being favored. He said, man, he loves him. But then he said, he's our friend. Amen. And thank God. Listen, what a blessed day it is in your life. And when you get changed from just being somebody that he loves to being his friend. Amen. I mean, bless God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says a friend loveth at all times. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's a pretty good thing right there. And then we stand here today, friend. And they ain't nothing like having a friend. Unless I start thinking about all the things it is even about having a friend. And this is what the definition is. When it comes to that, it says folks that would send all of their devotion and affection to another. That's what it is to be a friend. And it's something. Now listen, you might be loved today and not realize how much of a friend that the Lord really wants to be to you. But that's not what it said about Lazarus's life. And what it said about Lazarus's life was that he was a friend of the Lord and that he was a friend of the disciples. I'd ask you this morning, friend, as you stand here, thank God. If you're saved by the good grace of God, are you a friend of the Lord? Amen. And now we know he's a friend of us. There's no doubt about that. There's no denying that. He's proved it over and over and over again. But what about you? Are you a good friend to him? Amen. And thank God. Listen. And you say, preacher, I'm his best friend. I hear folks say that. I hear folks say that stuff all the time. Say, the Lord is my best friend. But they don't never talk to him. And they don't never read about him. And they don't never do nothing that he says. And that don't add up. Amen. I can tell you, I can stand right here all day and say, listen, Allison is, she is my best friend. But if you go and talk to Allison, Allison says, I don't know, he don't ever come home. We've got dinner on the table that he don't ever eat. He don't ever tell me that I'm pretty. He don't ever love on me. Listen, it's going to be a hard time convincing that. Amen. And so this morning, thank God, as we've gathered in the house of God, hey, listen, folks that love him, they'll come to church. Amen. I'm not saying they'll be at church every time, but there's something on the inside of their heart that wants to meet with the God of the Lord of the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so thank God. Hey, listen, they may be sometimes, I feel like preaching a while right there. Amen. It may be sometimes we come in the house of God and it ain't always just flowing real good. Hey, maybe times that it ain't always there. But I'm telling you, boy, there ain't nothing like getting up in the morning and talking to the Lord and saying, hey, Lord, listen, I'm ignorant, I'm dumb, I'm unlearned. And if you don't help me, I'm in trouble. But I'm going to trust in the wonderful counselor and the mighty God, the everlasting Father. I believe you've got good wisdom and I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. But I'm going to trust in you with all my heart. Hey, there's nothing like having a friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, I'm talking about this. I wonder how many times, friend, and that the Lord could really count us worthy. I'm talking about Kevin Sexton. You put yourself in there if you need to be. But listen, I'd sure enough like to be. I mean, I'd like to be a pretty good friend to him. But I find I've been filling in that a whole lot. Amen. Boy, I don't want to. I want to be a good friend. I want to be just like Lazarus was. He said, Lazarus is our friend. And so we find he was favored. And we find that he was a friend. And that was some of the shouting parts you missed yet. It's going to go downhill pretty quick right here. Hey, listen, he was a good follower. Amen. And could I say this to you? And whenever the Lord walked out there and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Hey, you understand he didn't give him an excuse. He didn't give him a reason why he couldn't. He didn't rebel against him. He didn't keep in his seat. And when God spoke the words up from the grave, he arose. Amen. And he just went. I thought about this. I thought about how many folks that Brother Braden was standing there that day and that all of them had been calling his name, no doubt. He said, Lazarus is dead. And they was talking about what it used to mean to him, Brother Kristen. They was talking about what Lazarus used to be. And all of those folks was mentioning his name. And not one of them, not one of them folks ever moved him, not one bit. But when the God of glory stepped out and he called his name, he said, boy, I know that voice. Amen. I'm glad to report to you tonight, friend, that those that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, they still do follow his his voice. Amen. And now I'm saying this to you. And don't nobody get real nervous. Amen. But the truth is the truth. And the Bible does teach us that we are to be different. Is that right? And thank God. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And thank God I'll receive you. And you should be my sons and daughters. I'll be a father unto you, and you should be my sons and my daughters. I'm saying this. And whenever Lazarus came up, he obeyed his voice totally and completely and wholly. I don't know how many of us live like that, but I'd sure like to be with a whole bunch of folks that said it don't matter what we want, our affections don't matter, it don't matter how everybody else is talking around us or talking about us, and we came here for one purpose, and that was to hear the voice out of another world, amen. And when God speaks, we're going to move, amen. Oh, listen, friend, I'm saying this far too many times. And we come to the house of God, and we're waiting on somebody else to do something else. And we're waiting on somebody else to prime that flame. I'm telling you, the only voice that Lazarus had, the only voice that could move him, and Mary stood out there. No doubt, listen, I was reading about these charismatics one day, and and Brother Adam Beatty may have had some probably similar experience, but I was talking about these folks, and they in a funeral line, and the body had been dead, they'd done embalmed it, and they're standing outside there, and they're just calling on the, and they said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And they wouldn't let the funeral guy go on. He said, we can't bury him, God's going to touch him. And they kept doing that all night long. They kept saying, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That friend, he'd done been embalmed. Hey, your voice is no longer the voice he's responding to. It's not the voice he's listening for. I'm telling you, you put me in the ground. Hey, you can say whatever you want to say, I'll never respond. But there is coming a day, friend, and if there's a voice a little louder than yours, there's a voice a little bigger than yours, and when that voice says, Kevin, I come up, I'm coming, amen. Oh, yes, friend. I'm saying this, thank God. He was a follower. He was bound down. He was bound up hand and foot. That's where a lot of us are. I bet he had something on the inside. Hey, you know what? That's a type. Listen, don't miss this, Nathaniel. That's a type of living in your flesh. You are bound up. Oh, yes. Brother Mike, you are bound up. How the best we want to be. Our flesh keeps us bound up real tight. Hey, but there's something on the inside. How that even if I've got to, you know, even if I've got to crawl, and even if I've got to just shimmy to where he's at, hey, something on the inside that's going to drag this old carcass all the way to where he's at. I want to do what the Lord would have us. I want to have a church full of folk who said, I'd like to be like Lazarus and count myself dead to everybody else, but alive to the Lord. Amen. Now listen, it's one thing to be favored. It's one thing to be a friend.
Yeah.
Are you a follower?
Yeah.
I think that's a terminology we're missing in our day. Everybody's saved. Everybody's a Christian. What about being a follower? Are you still following? You know what that means? Thank God that means he gave a pattern and you're abiding by what he said. Amen. That means you'll dress right. Amen. Thank God. That's right. Bless God. That means, thank God, you'll live right. He'll talk right. He'll stay away from the filth of the world. I'm talking about, friend, listen, being a follower is different. I'm talking about how to live like a dead man. That's what Lazarus was. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Watch this. I want to say this. Not only was he living like a good friend and living like a good follower, you can turn to page chapter number 12 and you can find that old Lazarus loved fellowship. That man in chapter 12, they're in the house of Martha and Mary, and the Bible says, and there sat Lazarus. He was one of them that sat at the table and he wanted to eat. He still ain't got much to say, but I bet he's full of God in his heart. Amen. That's sitting at the table. Thank God. You say, why you keep coming to church? Because there was a time that I came to the house of God and God spoke to my heart and I got something here, son, and I couldn't get it at Walmart and I couldn't find it at Costco and that I couldn't order off Amazon. I got something in the house of God and it changed my life. Have made me a new creature. And so sometimes maybe I ain't got to have everything to say, but I come and I sit and we get to singing, and there is a fountain filled with blood, and on the inside I think, thank God, thank God. Amen. Boy, that's what the Lord done for me. Lazarus never said a word. He just sat there I'll promise you, at the dinner that day, everybody was looking at one of two people. They was looking at Jesus, and they was watching Lazarus. They said, oh, wait a second. They said, he is dead. They said, don't look dead. Amen. And I'm sure some of you probably, you weren't even around when I preached this. I hope Lord let me preach it again. But if they ran a newspaper in those days, in the obituary section, it would have read, Lazarus is dead. Beloved friend of Jesus, brother of Martha and Mary. And then the next week's edition would come out and it would say, retraction. I said, we've made a mistake. Lazarus no longer dead, very much alive. Just go back by his house. Go back to where he was. Hallelujah. I said, you'll find him sitting there and just eating with the woman raised him up. Amen. I'm going to say this to you, friend. I like to just fellowship. Amen. I like to be around the things of God. I like to be around the people of God. I mean, listen, I don't understand a lot of things. There's a lot of things I can't wrap my mind around. I was listening to a fellow the other day, and he was talking about how he was supposed to be a preacher, but this is what he said to his congregation. He said, my favorite place is to go sit under an umbrella and with a Bible in one hand and a beer in the other. And I thought, listen, that don't even make sense, friend. And that don't even make sense. And you hear me today, there is still a difference between the clean and the unclean, and between what's holy and unholy, and between what's righteous and unrighteous. And the folks of God ought to be like Lazarus. Amen. That's right. Oh, yes. Watch your Bibles here. I'm going to have to move on. Amen. I done preached too long on that first point. I might not never get through the next 3 or 10 or however many there are. Watch this. First thing he said was this. He said, Lazarus is our friend. And boy, that speaks of his relationship. And the next thing he said was this. He said, Lazarus is dead. Amen. If you read it, I always like to read it like this. It makes me happy. But if you read that endlessly and you connect those two verses, it says this, and you stop at just the right point. It said, Lazarus is dead and I'm glad. Amen. And I want to say this to you. Listen, it's a happy day in the life of a believer when you die. Amen. I still believe when you... Now, I'm not listening. Don't nobody get out here and say, Brother Kevin's, he's encouraging us all to drink Kool-Aid or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there's a point in a time in your life through the act of sanctification. And as you grow closer to Christ, you crucify the old man and the lust and the affections thereof. I noticed this. Jesus wasn't much interested in Lazarus just being sick. He waited until Lazarus was dead, amen. It was a dead Lazarus that had the interest of the Lord. And the Lord's not interested in folks who are constantly saying, I'm doing better. He's interested in folks that are doing right, amen. Oh, yes, amen. Listen, thank God you can say amen or not. It's right, amen. Makes me no difference. I'm saying this. He shows up that day. I talked to, and I know this. I know all of us is doing better. Don't you guess that's right? Nod your head right there, everybody in here. And there's things in every person here's life that you wish was not there. Now, if you're not and you say, no, preacher, I've arrived, I ain't dealing with sin, then a couple of things. One, you probably need to be doing the preaching. And two, you need to stop lying. Amen. That's exactly how that needs to happen, thank God. And so here we are in the house of God, but I'm telling you, the Lord's not interested in things in my life just getting sick. Hey, sometimes things in my life get sick, and you know, you lay those things down, and then you say, man, that's yours, Lord, that's yours. And then, you know, along about midnight or so, you come back there, and, you know, you sneak that thing back in your pocket, and then you get down the road a little bit and you say, Lord, that's yours, that's yours, that's yours. And then when everybody's not looking, you sneak back down. I'll grab a hold of it, maybe put it in a hiding place or something like that. And boy, that's not what the Lord's interested in, friend. And what the Lord's interested in is us taking these things and putting them right down there at the feet of Christ and saying, God, we give it to you. And take it from us, it's yours. And we want rid of it in our lives. And by the good grace of God, we want it to die, amen. That's what he was... Listen to me, let me say this to you. Not only is that what interested the Savior, that's also what influenced the saints. He said, Lazarus is dead. He says that you may believe. You know what helps you to walk right? Now listen, you know what will help you to walk right? You know what help our whole church to walk right? A whole bunch of other folks walking right. I wish they'd be. Listen, he said, Lazarus is dead. And one of them rises up and he says, let's go die with him. Go read your Bible. I need to read it. That's what he says. He said, Lazarus is dead. So let's go die with him. Said, if Lazarus is dead, let's all go die. It's amazing what one sold out person's influence would be on an entire body of believers. He said, well, he said, Lord, if he's going to die and that makes you happy, why don't we all just go die? Amen. And you know what would be a happy place in a day of the life of a church? It's for everybody to take all of those things that hinder us every day and say, God, we'd sure like help of crucifying all those things, and we'd like to die out to see it. And watch God help us. Amen. Oh, listen, let me say this to you. I'm going to have to move on. Not only is that what influenced the sinners or the saints, that's also what had the greatest impact on sinners. Could I tell you this? It was at Rodney, it was at the death of Lazarus that the biggest crowd gathered up.
Yeah.
Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. I'm glad you read your Bible, Brother Kevin. That's good. That helps me. I'm saying this to you. There wasn't a real big crowd gathered whenever Lazarus got sick. It didn't impact a whole bunch of sinners when Lazarus got sick. But when Lazarus died, here the whole crowd came. And they said, man, I remember when Lazarus used to be alive and I heard he died. You know what? I wish some of y'all would help me out right there. You know what will help you in this thing, make a big impact? You know what will make an impact at York High School, Cohen? Is when they look over and they say, oh, Cohen. They say, y'all remember what he was before he got saved? Amen. Said, boy, old Cohen said, he's not like everybody else. He's different than everybody else. It's not the life of Cohen that'll get sinners' attention. It's the death of Cohen. It's whenever they walk by and they say, I know what they used to be, but there came a day and a place and a time where they died. Amen.
Amen.
You want to help somebody, be real hard to, be real hard for me. You probably listen. I'm just, y'all. Every time I say something about liquor, I always find a little bit of resistance. But I'm going to tell y'all this. If I show up in this church this morning and I bust out a fifth of Jack from behind the pulpit, there's nobody in here going to want to listen to me preach. Say amen. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
That's right. And whether it's behind this pulpit or it's at your house, thank God you are bought with a price. Amen. And you say, preacher, it's not hurting me. Thank God you might be saved, but you're sending everybody around you to hell.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That's it.
Amen.
So you can't have it both ways. It's not a sick person that really has an impact on sinners. It's somebody who's radically died out to sin. Sinners are trying to figure out. Probably not a whole lot of sinners are going to come set in Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
Probably not going to listen to the preacher preach. But Eli, I don't know how many times we've sat back there and you've prayed and you say, boy, help me be a good witness to my baseball team.
Yeah.
Help me be a good witness to my baseball team. Ty, help me be a good witness to my workers.
Yeah.
Pap, everybody, did you come around? Help me be a good witness to them.
Yeah.
Well, if every time you're going to try to be a witness to them, they see a lottery ticket sticking out of this front pocket and they see, you know, a half a case in your hand, you've killed that witness. You can do with it whatever you want to do. You can justify whatever you want to justify. But I'm talking about if there's ever a time that the people of God ought to live right, do right, be what's right, be as dead as Lazarus is, that we might have the kind of impact that he had, it ought to be right now. Let me just, since we're here, let me throw this in here. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you ought not kill a deer illegally.
Amen.
Feel like that needs to be said in Jamestown, Tennessee. It's like everybody's saved till it's deer hunting season. Got quiet right there. Got quiet right there. Still saved. Still saved, so we don't bait deer, you understand? We don't shoot them at night. Hallelujah, that's right. You said, preacher, that ain't got nothing to do with the message. It's got everything to do with it. Hey, listen, if I stood up here and preached and you knew I poached a deer last night, you'd feel different about it. Preach on, preacher. Somebody's got to say it. Nobody else is. It's right. It's right. All right, let me move on before I killed the whole thing. Some things need to be killed. Some things need to die. First of all, he said, Lazarus is our friend. Second of all, he said, Lazarus is dead. And then third of all, he said, Lazarus, come forth. We see, listen, we see the relationship of Lazarus, the reality of Lazarus, but lastly, we see the reason for Lazarus. Probably all Lazarus's life, he's been trying to figure out what his purpose is. He said, man, I'd sure like to walk on water like Peter. Oh, Peter and the boys come home, Brother Kyle, and they're talking. They said, y'all see Peter walk on water today? Lazarus said, man, I'd like to have walked on water. God, why can't I walk on water? Then all of a sudden they get to hearing about John and them wanting to call down thunder from heaven. They seen the 70 go out and have power over the devils and scorpions. All of a sudden, you know, Lazarus said, man, I feel like I ain't making no impact at all. Lord, I'm trying to love you. I'm trying to follow you. But I ain't got nothing to say and I ain't had nothing to do. And every time the Lord would look at old Lazarus, he'd say, you just hang on, neighbor. Amen. I've got a day out there ahead of you, thank God. I'm going to use your life without ever using any words. Whenever old Lazarus came forth, let me say this, that's the biggest miracle Christ did in front of the largest amount of people. It was the last miracle. It was the last chance the Jews had. They would not believe. The next chapter says they could not believe. It was the life of Lazarus that was to have the greatest impact on all the Jews. Amen. Without saying a word. Lazarus just got up. Just listen. He didn't shout. He didn't cry. He just lived and breathed. And what had happened in his life was so marvelous. They say, preacher, I can't never do what Brother Josh does. I can't never do what Brother Jess does. Listen, you don't have to. Boy, every day you'll get up and you'll say, I'm going to live like a dead man. Amen. Amen. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost are helping me. Amen.
Yeah.
You get up and you say, man, I've tried it my own way and I ain't never got nowhere. I keep turning over a leaf and finding it's brown on the other side. I keep trying to cover myself up only to show up next. Listen, you keep trying to, you'll never get where you're trying to get in your own efforts. But the day you just give up and you throw up both arms of surrender, you say, Christ, I'm coming to you. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Amen. I'll tell you, thank God, God will change your life. When you walk out of this thing, hey, you say, preacher, how will folks know that I'm changed? You probably won't go to the Cotton Eye Joe. Amen. Thank God, how will they know? You won't show up at the party. Amen. You won't be down at the beer joint. Thank God. You won't be saying what you used to say. And without ever saying a word, they'll know something changed in your life. Amen. Oh, yes. Magnified the Savior. Let me say this. I'm going to be real done real quick. Not only magnify the Savior, it mesmerized the saints. You ever been around somebody? Listen, I've been around folks before and you think, I don't know if they got saved or not. You don't know if anybody got saved.
Right.
Amen. Say amen back there, Scotty. That's right, ain't it? Like you're the judge of who's saved and who ain't. Because they cried not just right. You don't know. And I'm going to tell you this. All them disciples, I promise you, old Peter and John, all them look over and they say, man, I'd like to be Lazarus right now. So I wonder what he's feeling. I wonder what's going on in his mind. I'll tell you what was going on in his mind. He had one goal. Get to the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing else. No bells, no whistles. He didn't have a Just As I Am song. He didn't have a Baptist preacher. He heard the voice of God and he was coming to it.
Yeah.
Phew. Yeah. And it'll be a happy day in all of our lives.
Yeah,
quit responding to men. Quit responding to women. Quit responding to our flesh. Get to a place where when the Holy Ghost comes by and he says something to your heart, make up your mind to do one thing. That's just go run into him. Go run to him. I'm done preaching. You stand in front. I've got to tell you this, though. It mesmerizes the saints, but it mystifies the sinners. All those sinners standing there that day, and they seen the life of Lazarus. They seen what Lazarus was living like, what Lazarus was doing. They all said, man. Some of them, the Bible says, at the end of that verse, Brother Rod, it says, some of them believed. But the next verse said, but some of them went to the Pharisees. They saw everybody, John saw the same thing. And some of them said, man, that's enough for me to believe. And everybody else said, let's just go try to kill him again. Try to kill him again. I don't know where you're at. Listen, come play something for us. I don't know where you're at today. You may be in that place where you're bound down. Don't know that the Lord loves you.